Radio.
It's about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Good morning. It is 7:05 on the last day of February. That's right, the last day of February. I hope you haven't skipped over Valentine's Day. I hope that you had a chance to attend last night, a little gala affair at the convention center. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Our phone lines here are 530-605-4567, and we are chatting and streaming at KCNR1460.com. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. We're joined today by Bad Bob.
And greetings, sir.
Hey, Bad Bob. How are you? You were there last night. What'd you think?
Had an amazingly good time.
And we're talking about the Rat Pack is back. And we were joined by 1,300 of our closest friends here in town. And they talked about, it was just, I tell you what, it was an evening that kind of took you back to the days of when Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin and Sammy Davis Jr. and Joey Bishop were kind of ruling Las Vegas. It was pretty cool, huh?
You had to check your political correctness at the door. Did you hear the kind of gasp in the room when the Dean Martin character lit the cigarette?
Oh, yeah. He's smoking a cigarette, having his drink. You know, we were... Linda, who, by the way, is on assignment this morning, we'll talk a little bit about that in a bit. When Linda found out they were coming into town, she got a hold of the people at the convention center and then the people with the Rat Pack and said, hey, look, we'd like to help push this, advertise it. And, you know, I'd just like to do is have an opportunity to get some photos with them, for a group of people. And what happened was is that when she was dealing with the producer and he wanted to know what her background was, and she had been, of course, worked with all these guys, you know, back in the day when she was a gold digger, and in the sense of the professional name gold digger, that was one of Dean Martin's dancers and singers that opened with him and entertained with him. He asked her to kind of introduce the show and open with a song, which she did last night. And I thought, of course, that it went wonderfully well, Bad Bob. And then she introduced them and came down. But then they asked her to come back up during the part where they were doing brought out the martini bar. and Linda came out then, and everybody told her joke too. And then she escorted Dean back off the stage. And then at the end, which I thought was really truly touching, was they had her come back up on the stage, a complete surprise, and take a final bow with them.
Yeah, I thought that was very, very interesting. It was interesting seeing the transformation. I've seen Linda under a variety of circumstances, and how she puts on that character, and of course you know her better than anybody, but it's interesting how she can go into character, and then when she's done with it, it can go back in the closet, and she's just Linda again.
That's right. Well, she has been doing this, you know, most of her life, and when she goes on the stage, she's an entertainer, and that's what she did. You know, she came out and had to play a certain part when she was escorting Dean out, and but then afterwards, my friends, for those of you that joined us at the Red Lion Inn afterwards for a Rat Pack is Back night with special drinks and good prices and all that, the whole cast came down and joined us, and it was truly an eventful evening. Nice guys. Every one of them was a very nice guy. The band was down there. It was a good time.
What was interesting was how the guy who did Dean Martin was sort of still in character, but the fellow who did Sinatra looked nothing like he did on stage.
Yeah,
you would have passed him in the street and never made the connection. But it was interesting that there are people who say, oh, they're just riding on the coattails of those great guys. No, they're kind of paying a tribute, and that's pretty cool.
And, you know, the thing about it, too, is that Frank, the guy playing Frank Sinatra, and I think his name is...
Brian.
Brian said he'd been listening to Sinatra records, and he realized at one point, he said he was about 15, that he could sound like him. And he said, you know, if you can do one thing really well, then other things that you don't do well kind of fall by the wayside. He says, I sing, and this was not being conceited, because he is. He's a great singer. He says, I can do this very well. He says, I can't hang pictures. I can't do a lot of other things. He says, but I can do this. And, if you close your eyes, or even if you didn't, because he had the mannerisms down, too, and listen to him sing My Way and New York and Ladies of Tramp, the whole thing. It was outstanding. And then the gent playing, Kyle playing Sammy Davis Jr., and then Brian, I think it was playing Dino, and the guy playing Joey Bishop. I mean, he had everybody rolling in the aisles. He was laughing. So anyway, if you didn't see it last night, it was a great time. We had a great time. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, and I see the chat room has already started. And we come back, we just got a number of things to talk about. Well, we'll start with self-licking ice cream cones and work our way down. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It is probably about 8:13 in the morning, and it's February the 28th, 2011. Carl and Linda Bott, Linda's on assignment. And Bad Bob's going to put the time up on our atomic clock here.
Okay.
I'm sure. That helps me. And a lot of comments in there from people that went to the show last night. And it was a good time. And I didn't think, and like you, I think that they were, they're playing acts. They're actors. And they sing, and they're playing a part. That doesn't mean they haven't gone out on their own and done their own work before, too. Okay, let's talk about self-licking ice cream cones, or the Academy Awards, as other people call them. All right, hang on, sit down, put your seatbelts on, here it comes. Best Picture, King's Speech. Actor, Colin Firth, King's Speech. Actress, Natalie Portman, Black Swan. Supporting Actor, Christian Bale, The Fighter. Supporting Actress, Melissa Leo, The Fighter, who used the F word when she was accepting her award. Another example of quality from Hollywood. Okay, that was it. Let's talk about what I saw yesterday. I was watching the news, and it was in saw what's going on in Libya. Now, it appears that Gaddafi still has Tripoli. He's controlling that, and he's moving some forces out to try and take some of the other cities. Have the protesters or the revolutionaries or the whatever you want to call them were there, and so in one part they had media crews out there, and these people were in their face, and they were yelling at them, pointing fingers and telling them, and then all of a sudden the reporter got smashed. They started taking signs and pushing it around in front so you couldn't see them, and then it was and then they were screaming obscenities at him. And then I thought, I realized I had looked away for a second, and I was looking at Wisconsin. That's right, Wisconsin, the thugs. And that's exactly what they are. I'm not saying who they're with. I don't know if they're teacher thugs or union thugs or non-thugs. Maybe they're just people that came up and said, hey, it's time to be a thug, and wear my little college hat. Came up to the Fox reporter and literally hit him. They were putting their signs in front of him. They were being rude. They were screaming. And I'm thinking to myself, whoa, wait a minute. Guys, this is a peaceful demonstration here in Wisconsin. The fact that you've taken over the Capitol and you're in there and you won't let them clean the place and you won't leave, that 14 Democrats are still hiding out in Illinois. And by the way, who exactly is paying for that? Is it the are they paying for themselves? Are they staying in some sleaze hotel? Or is it the Wisconsin tax dollars paying for these senators not to come back? And explain to me why you don't see NBC and CBS, and especially MSNBC, talking about the signs that are out there. I don't know if you've seen the signs that are out there at the Wisconsin Capitol. Now, there's a few that liken the governor there to Hitler, Stalin. See who else? Hitler, Stalin, Gaddafi. Others, others with photos of him with the little Hitler mustache and all that. I remember when the Tea Party had their rallies, and every so often you'd see one. I mean, you'd see a sign like, "Oh my God, these people, look at this. Look at this. They're likening our representatives, like President Obama. He's got a little Hitler mustache on him, and oh, my God, this is wrong. This is wrong. These people are whack jobs. Yet, I'm not seeing that in the big media, that this is going on, but the Wisconsin governor that wants to do one thing. He just wants to balance the budget. He doesn't want to kick the can down the road anymore. And he's fighting against subsidies that are given to the people there. And the people, the majority of the people, elected this governor and this legislature and this Senate to cut the cost, to do away with their deficit. And so now they will not let the governor and the elected representatives of Wisconsin do the people's business. Bad Bob, you said you had like your hand up there.
Well, the observation that was made by a pundit that made me kind of blank twice was this female pundit was saying that they forced the poor to go to work, and then they take away their collective bargaining rights. Excuse me, forced them to go to work? I missed the part with the stormtroopers sending people off to the salt mines. Forced them to work. Isn't this America?
Well, we get to the point where I think that people have to take a look. And if the people have said, and this isn't just the people in Wisconsin, the people in Tennessee, Iowa, and many in Idaho, they're looking at it. They're saying, hey, wait a minute, we've got to change the way we do business. So it's one thing to protest. It's one thing to say, you know what, I'd like to be able to come up here and actually have something to say before you vote. It's another to go into a civil disobedience royal that keeps any business from going on. And then you have 14 elected representatives to say, well, we won't come back till we get our way. How about coming back and stating what you stand for, taking your lumps, and then if you don't like it, change it in the next election. Oh, that's the way we do it in America. We just don't play like a bunch of little kids that go home. Oh, you won't let me play. You won't give me what I want, so I'm going to go home. Well, I find this, first of all, I find it abhorrent that anybody that's out there trying to report gets punched, gets pushed around, and people screaming and yelling at him. I mean, because you don't like the station, don't listen to the station. Don't listen to the station that's reporting it. That's your best way. But no, assault wasn't even happening in Libya. I think I think that right there says the whole thing. We got to take a break. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bob. Linda's on assignment this morning. And what's the weather there, Bad Bob?
Well, it looks like we're going to have stormy weather for the next couple of days. Rain likely, and overnight lows will be in the 40s, daytime highs in the 50s. Right now, downtown, it is 39 degrees. Weather always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
And speaking of Anselmo Vineyards, went up there Friday night. Had a great dinner. They had Pat Karch was playing up there. While we were there, it had to be 5 inches of snow dropped on us while we were there for 3 hours. And, of course, when you come out, you talk about a winter wonderland. And then, of course, then there's the winter drive home. And it's not on the main road, of course. But even then, when she got back up on 44, it was still pretty snowy. And I was surprised you got that much snow. Of course, that was it. The next day, sunshine, and it's melting off. Scott Mayberry, Captain Scott Mayberry of the Reading Police Force, met him, very, very knowledgeable, professional guy. He's leaving us, and it appears that he's going to go back to Fort Bragg and be the new police chief there.
Hmm.
I think it's a great idea. He's the head of the head investigations. He's got the gang unit there. He coordinates that. He had been in Fort Bragg for 5 years. So I guess it's kind of like going home.
Yep. Scott's a class act. I've met him on several
occasions. Yeah, and he is. And I tell you what, too, is he... it wasn't just like, oh, hey, let's call Scott up. They did a nationwide search for over 33 applicants for this job, and Scott got it. So we just wish the best to our Captain Scott Mayberry. We hate to lose you. I hate to lose you because you're just, you are a quality act, and you have delivered the goods here and kept the gangs under control.
Like I said, he's one of the guys we needed on the wall.
That's right. Okay, we've got people waiting in the wings here. Let's talk about Bethel Church. Bethel Church is they'd like to lease the convention center, at least have it more than they have it now. And this has led to some questions. I saw that originally in the paper Saturday. I talked to one of the council people that I saw, and they said it may be a question of separation of church and state, depending on how much they want to do it. Now, I don't know if that's a question or not. Do you lease? Well, I think they already lease it to them already. But if you give them a full-time lease, and you know how much, you know, then is it still a church and state thing? If a church leases a piece of government property, I'm not sure. You know, I don't think they want it all the time. But there's other questions too. Is they have many, many, many events at the convention centers, you know, Cool April Nights, they've got, you know, the hunting shows, they've got, you know, tea parties, they've got things like last night. They had their rap back is back. They've had, they have numerous acts down there. I believe ZZ Top and Lone Star and all those came through. Now, what impact would it have on those coming in? Because those are money makers for the convention center. And then, And then you have the part where they've already Bethel Church, and by the way, I'm probably one of those people that I don't get too concerned about a person's religion as long as that religion doesn't impact on me, that he doesn't or she doesn't come up and have to force it on me. The fact that they've got a worldwide congregation via the internet, and they have 3,000 people at their services. I'm not sure if that means via the internet too, or in their church. I don't know, Bob. Have you ever been to the church?
I understand their production facilities put most TV stations.
I have heard that they have got a top-rated TV and radio service right there. But I was just wondering if they have. And they say 3,000 people are at their services.
I think that's an aggregate number.
An aggregate number of, I mean, not at one time, but maybe 3 or 4 days, or maybe does it count people that are like tuned in?
No, I think that is bodies in the facility.
They've got
a big facility.
Yeah, they've got like 100,000 people, I think, tuned into their shows too all the time, which they pay a premium for.
I do have one thought immediately crossed my mind. If they were to be leased and given administrative control over the convention center, and let's say Katie Lang wants to schedule a concert, the implications there could be a little dicey. You know, if they turn that down for personal reasons, for reasons that is not in line with their beliefs, could that be a problem?
Well, see, if they don't own it, but they lease, say 70% of it, then the question, well, you know, and see, they don't have the final say. It's not like they're buying it, but. A couple of our comments right here. Separation of church and state is pretty clear that a church administration should not have control of a government-owned facility. And if Bethel's occupancy in any way affects other groups use it should not be a deal. We put $1 million a year into the convention center as our taxpayers' dollars that we just, you know, funnels in there, stays there. The question is a good question is, would Bethel Church have a say about who's going to be at the convention center? And would they have lock on things like, oh, we're going to take over, you know, the church or the convention center on these days, and they just kind of like lock out a number of acts. But then again, the city makes money on it. It's not like they're trying to keep events out. It's just the fact they need more. Anyway, I will talk a little bit about it later. This is Carl and Linda Bott Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's a Monday. It's 7:29. It's that last day of February, my friends. Join us after the news. Welcome back. Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460. February the 28th. Carl and Linda Bott. And Linda's on assignment. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Lumberjacks. Lumberjacks, where you can get great food at great prices. They have breakfast specials Monday through Friday only. $3.99 ham and eggs. We're talking about a big plate of food here. $4.99 chicken fried steak and eggs. $5.99 New York steak and eggs. They have everything on the menu. They've got great prices there. They've got dinners for $9.99. They've got pick and pair lunches at great. And they're a local local company owned by local people. It's Lumberjacks at 501 East Cypress. All right, now, once a month we bring in a philosopher, a man of deep thought, a man who sits back and sees. We could call him the Oracle, or we could just call him Jay, the taxi driver.
They call me Mellow Yellow.
How you doing, Jay?
I'm doing great, Carl. How are you doing today?
We're doing super. Now, before we took the break in the news and you were coming on, we were talking about the church coming down and leasing the convention center. So what do you think about that?
I think it's pretty interesting. You know, Yellow Cab, we drive a lot of people from all over the world. I was actually quite surprised to find that there are people from all over the world who come to Bethel for their various classes and services that they hold. I don't have a problem with it as long as they just buy out like a certain chunk of time and don't have any say so on who else takes the other chunks. Once you start getting control of the actual programming, who we can't, I think that's where we start having a problem.
Well, I think you're right. You know, people get vehement about what exactly Bethel is. You know, it's a cult and all that. And, you know, I don't prescribe any of those things. What it should be, though, is if they want to lease part of the land and they don't have any say about who else comes in there and they want to lease it for 20 weeks a year and that brings in the money and keeps us from bleeding $1 million into the convention.
Or having to shutter the place. Yeah.
Yeah. Or what happens if they want to buy it?
I think
you could probably buy it for probably $7 to $10 million.
Yeah, well, then it's a owned location. It's no longer a point of contention.
That's right. And if they would sell it to the McConnell Foundation, the city, if the city would sell it to the McConnell Foundation, then why couldn't they sell it to Bethel? If Bethel wanted to buy it.
No, there shouldn't be an issue as long as they aren't controlling who else gets to come in.
Yeah.
That would be the only real problem.
Yeah, I don't think it would be. I don't think, you know, I think, and that's why I was talking to the council person, and they said, you know, they've got to look at it as a separation of church and state, and if it's just they want to rent it just like a, say, you know, for a revival meeting or anything else, why not?
Yeah.
And by the way, the convention center, these people down there, they work really hard, and the conditions down there, they need a lot of work mm-hmm. at the convention center. It does need a lot of work, but the way those people that work down there, Mr. Johnson, Johnson.
They have a good crew down there.
Who runs the place is just, I mean, he's a pro, everybody down there. The night before we were there, and they had all the seats out, they had the Northern State Wrestling Championships right there and I've been there before where they've had the California Deer Association, and there were hundreds of people in there with camouflage and deer heads everywhere and guns. And The next morning was the Republican Women's Tea Party, all set up for the Tea Party. It was, they have that Tea Party.
I remember something similar a good 10 years ago when they had a rodeo there the night before, and the next morning they had something completely different, all set up, clean, and ready to go. They do an excellent job down there.
Okay, now let's get into some philosophy here there, Taxi Man. So what have you seen that's been interesting since this last month?
The similarity between Libya and Wisconsin.
Really? I kind of thought that they were a little more...
Civil over in Libya?
Quieter in Libya than I saw in Wisconsin. I mean, it was getting... I mean, I thought it was atrocious. I sat there, you know, and I thought, wait a minute, guys, this is America. I mean, what the hell is this? You know, bring your thuggish tactics and take them someplace else. I mean, they were hitting people. They were, I mean, it was, you know, I frankly think that enough is enough.
Well, I think
they
a lot of people
do. They need to move the people out of the Capitol, let them go out there and protest outside the grounds, lock down the Capitol, right, and let the people in there that work back and forth and, you know, get back to work.
Whatever happened to the calls for civility?
Oh, no, that's only civility. That's only if you are on
the
MSNBC and say you've got to be civil, and they're talking to people that maybe don't have their same political persuasion. these people in Wisconsin are being so, well, they have a right to do this because they're busting those unions. They're taking away all of their bargaining rights, their collective bargaining rights, which, by the way, is not true. They are not taking them all away. And the fact is that it's entitlements that that's what the battle's about. That's what the battle's about is entitlements. Don't get hung up on this thing with the collective bargaining. It's entitlements.
I could just see Anderson Cooper, who comes back from Egypt after, you know, thinking he was going to get it kicked, going to Wisconsin and actually getting it kicked. You know,
well, not only that, but you better not send it. You better not send any blonde reporters to Madison, Wisconsin. You never can tell. You know, I mean, and that's something else. You know, in the Middle East, in this peace and freedom rally they're having in Egypt, this blonde reporter, a female, a Westerner, an infidel, gets separated from her group. First of all, any idiot, and I'm not talking about her, but any idiot who's running something like this, a producer, would have a security team with them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I know that every place the media people were in 2003, in Baghdad or anywhere else, there was a security team with them. Mm-hmm. And they moved with them just because of people getting excited. And what happens if somebody, you know, hits somebody or something? I mean, once it starts, it's too late. And she, you know, so this whole thing is ridiculous. I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous in Wisconsin. Come on. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. In our 1460, it's Carl and Linda Bott. Linda is on assignment. 7:45 in the morning, the last day of February, and this portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellite. It's moved to 1345 Liberty Street. You can't miss it. It's where as you're driving out on 44. It's right there on the left-hand side. The phone number there is 244-1988, and Doug Tooley puts in Dish Satellite. He guarantees his work, my friends. He's a local guy. He's a veteran. We've used him at our house with Dish Satellite. We are very, very happy with it, and we're happy with the work that Doug does. So
good
that's,
guy.
He is a good guy. 244-1988. Our guest is Jay, the yellow cab guy. Okay, Jay. In this last month, you said you drive around a lot of people from Bethel.
Right.
Well, but there's thousands of them around here going to school at any one time. We've run into several of them that they came by because they've got like a 3-day ministry going mm-hmm. on, or they want to see the place, or
schools.
They've got a lot of schools, and they rent homes and put a bunch of people into it. A bunch of people, but they don't destroy the homes. They take care of them.
Very nice people, very clean cut. I'm impressed. Very nice people.
Well, I've heard also is that, you know, people have been walking down the river trail and been, Bob, I don't know if this is the right word, accosted, maybe that's not the right word, but they've been approached by some Bethel people that want to save them.
Right.
And you know, through a variety of means.
You can find that in every faith. You got those who are reasonable and those who are a little bit,
I'm not too excited about that either, you know, unless they don't take no for an answer.
Yeah,
then it goes back,
no,
then it goes
on,
back to Airplane with Robert Stack working his way. If you people remember the movie Airplane, Robert Stack is moving his way through the airport, and he's being approached by 8,000 Hare Krishnas, and everybody else is coming up to him and trying to approach him, and he is punching his way through the airport. He's doing karate kicks. He's doing, you know, he's holding them, you know, in headlocks, smacking them, and he works his way through the airport. No, you know. And he leaves like, you know, like 40 bodies laying out behind him, you know, with bloody noses. So, I mean, but I'm sure it hasn't reached that point on the river trail. First of all, the people out walking the river trail, they're probably just waiting for something like this.
Now, I was just watching the chat room out of the corner of my eye. Louis Farrakhan, remember him? Anybody remember him? He used to be of some consequence before he just started believing in UFOs, that they were... you know, the harbingers of the next thing that happens here.
The Muslim movement.
Yeah, he is. Nation of Islam.
The Nation of Islam. He might have something to say, yeah.
But, I saw an article about this whole UFO thing, that there's the great wheel circling the earth. It's like, okay, you know, where's that coming from?
Yep, okay. Anyway, all right, Jake, let's talk about, we've got a couple minutes here before the break. What's the biggest thing that you're doing now?
Well, right now, over at Yellow Cab, thanks to the advertising from your company, we've been getting a lot of folks who are calling in, so thank you very much. I'm really glad this investment's paying off so well.
Well, thank you very much. You know, it's you know, people need rides. You know, last night if we didn't have somebody else driving, we probably would have given you a call.
Because
it was just why risk it? I mean, it's not that we were, you know, even slightly inebriated, but why take a risk if you've been drinking?
You know, I have a rule. I mean, partially it's because I drive for a living, and if I got a DUI, I'd be destroyed, you know, economically. But I have a rule. If I have drank anything, alcohol at all, I don't drive. I just don't. Because, you know, so many times you think you're okay and you're not, and then all of a sudden you're in a world of hurt. So that's my personal rule. And I'm noticing that a lot of people are showing conscientiousness in that regard, and we've been getting a lot of people who are just leaving the car at home, taking a cab.
Well, you know, when you get into this thing where a DUI is not going to be just something that they pull your license from, they're going to take thousands of dollars of your money.
Classes.
Oh.
The breathing device.
Oh, I mean, it's thousands of dollars of your money. And the thing about it is that it's all preventable.
Ounce of prevention.
And it's all preventable. And if you're, you know, we've got a rule for riding on our motorcycles. We take a trip and that there's no drinking until the kickstand is down for the last time. And you don't have to really pound that in my head because I'm not going to have a couple of shots of tequila and two beers and ride my motorcycle down the road with a bunch of people that don't even see me already.
That's a good way to lose skin right there.
Yeah, yeah. You can talk, and I have a lot of skin in this game already.
Permanent rash,
Anyway, we got to take a break here and we come back. We'll finish up this segment with Jay and talk a little bit more about what the cab drivers are talking about. And, I mean, I'm sure that you all get together and talk about, hey, gosh, you know, look at this, or it's...
We have a major concern. We'll talk about it in the next thing.
Great. Here we go. Oh, I bet I know what it is. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It is February the 28th. Thanks for spending this month with us. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, Linda's on assignment, 7:53 in the morning. It is 40 degrees. It looks like it's going to be a stormy day. Is that true, Bad Bob?
Well, Carl, it looks like after about 10 o'clock, we'll start seeing some rain downtown. That'll be throughout the day, and then a little bit of clearing, and then starts right back up again late Tuesday. So it's going to be a wet week, and we're welcome to it to fill those lakes.
A wet but happy week.
40 degrees downtown right now. Weather always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
Right, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, finest walk-in cigar humidor in the state. And, of course, Espresso Joe's with great coffee, great prices. It's going to be a little chilly today. Go down there and get some coffee. It'll warm your innards. That's right. It'll warm your innards. And Joe and Shelley support this community. They support the veterans, and they've been in business for around 35 years. Okay, our guest, Jay... The taxi driver. The yellow cab. Yellow cab guy. Okay. Big concern to the drivers.
Gas. You know, it's getting about $3.50. The way that we make our money is that we give half of the money that we make to the company off the top. We pay for the gas ourselves, and then we keep what's left. At $3.50 a gallon, yikes, starting to hurt. We've been trying to hold off, but it looks like before much longer, we're going to have to start doing a $1 surcharge per trip just to help us pay for the gas.
Well, that makes sense.
We've been really trying not to, but it doesn't look like it's going to be going down anytime soon.
Well, it still saves money for a lot of people. You know, that one, they don't have a car, but two, that it's maybe they don't want to drive or for whatever reason.
I mean, I hate to announce a raise, but, you know, it is a concern. It hurts everybody. But the good news is we've got these new bridges with all the new lanes.
Yeah, that's one
and
of the questions I was going to ask you.
I'm loving the exit off of Hilltop. I mean, not having to wade through Hilltop down to Cypress or go up Hilltop all the way over to Miracle Mile.
Yeah.
Oh, that saves so much time for us, for gas, and then for the customer, for their amount they have to pay. I'm loving it. It's great.
You know, those bridges, I think they did a great job on those bridges. I think the one over on... over on the sack over there by Turtle Bay came in on time and actually under budget. Could that be? And then the one on Cypress is looking pretty good.
Can somebody just tell me what the big ice cream cones are supposed to do?
Yeah, well, you know, we're looking.
See, they're pretty in the night, okay? I can actually defend that. I had the same doubts that I start my shift at 5, and so when I'm driving, they're really pretty.
Well, I tell you
I guess I have to go over there some evening, but during the daytime, they're just like,
it's dumb. Yeah. We're going into Vegas, guys. We're going into Vegas. All right, you know, I've had people here, people talking about the price of gas, and, you know, Libya puts out 1.6 million gallons or barrels of oil.
Are we going to be allowed to drill for ourselves?
Well, you know what? See, that's the thing, is why? Why?
It's like a man drowning.
Aren't we just saying, why doesn't President Obama say, hey, you know what? This Middle East could turn into crap really big time. I want you to do is open up these oil fields that we have already. We can drill down and sideways. So you don't even have to open up too many new ones. We want to get into the oil shale business. Yes, you know what? I'd like to take a real good look at putting nuclear power back on the drawing board, that you could have a small plant here. I'm talking about like a city block that could take care of all of the, you know, all of Shasta County for its energy needs. And what about things like, okay, you know, that offshore drilling? Yes, you know that. You know, if it's done in the safe, you know, safety, let's go back to doing that, just like every other country is. You know, nobody else is stopping but us. And why not just in that one little spot there in Alaska, let's just tap into those millions of barrels of oil and stop being reliant on a bunch of crazy people from the Middle East.
It's like dying from thirst standing in the middle of a creek. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. And then, you know, and then our other producer, Hugo Chavez from Venezuela, who is not our friend, no matter what Sean Penn says. Or
what
Kevin
you talking
Spacey.
About?
Well, they, you know, the whole thing about that is that we don't need to rely on other countries. All we have to do is take our future, take our destiny in our hands. Why can't we just take our destiny in our own hands and stop relying on other people? Why do we have to rely on people that don't like us? Okay, we got like a minute and a half left, Jay.
Well, anyway, as I was saying, things are going well. We have that concern about the gas. But past that, you know, folks are being pretty confident. You know, times are tough, but we're a resilient bunch. We keep swinging. We keep doing the best we can.
That's all you can do.
And, you know, it's working out great.
Well, that's what we do. We keep trying. We keep moving on. You don't give up. Yeah, this, you know, the gas thing here is that something is we know how to solve it. I would just hope that our Congress and our president has the intestinal fortitude to do it. It's just like the immigration problem. Try to tell me, you know, Janet Neapolitano telling me it's, you know, it's getting better on the border. We're getting agents killed. We're having people shooting across the border and trying to tell us it's better. It's just it's ludicrous. It's but we don't have the national will. When I say we, our leaders don't have the national will to just shut the border down.
It's really very simple.
It's got nothing to do with, I don't care. Yeah. You know what? Let's bring in on a work program. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Shut the border.
What we really have is politicians on both sides of the border have let the people down. And then as a result, you've got people who are yelling at each other when they should be hollering at the politicians who aren't doing their
That's
job.
That's right. Okay. All right. Okay. It's been a good morning. We've talked about a lot of things. Jay, Yellow Cap guy's here, and his philosophy and his guys. Yeah, I'm sorry about that gas. I don't think it's going to get any better right now. Carl Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. We got a break for the news. We're going to come back with a sealed doctor.
KCNR Shasta Ready.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's 8:05 on the last day of February, the 28th. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. Hey, our phone lines here are 605-4567, and we are streaming at KCNR1460.com. And I'm looking down. Not only are we streaming, you all are really getting hot in there about, well, I think I'm reading now about Christian Bale and divorce courts and pretty good Batman and something like that. Linda's on assignment today, and that, did we get the commander back yet?
We have not, sir. We're hoping to try to reestablish contact. I love modern communications.
Yeah. our guest for this hour, or this segment, was going to be Lieutenant Commander D.R. Davis, who has written a book, SEAL Doc, like the Navy SEAL Doc. He was the first corpsman assigned to the first unit first Navy SEAL unit that went into Vietnam. We're going to talk to him later. I'm sure he'll call back. But right now, we have Elizabeth.
Good morning.
Hello.
How
are you, Elizabeth?
Well, we have quite a bit going on tonight at the Reading Tea Party. As always, we meet at 6 o'clock at the Bonneview Baptist Church at 2570 South Bonneview Road. And several things on the docket tonight. We have Karen England of the Capital Resource Institute. That is a lobby group in Sacramento that lobbies for family value issues. And Karen actually started off as a stay-at-home mom who discovered that her children were not being taught to her satisfaction in the public schools. So she put her son into a charter school, and then the state of California attempted to shut that charter school down, and that's what got her riled up and got her into the fight for family values. And she, along with others, was successful in keeping that charter school open, and now it's the largest charter school in the state of California. So she joined the Capital Resource Institute, and she'll be at our meeting tonight. She's absolutely hilarious. Not only does she have a great message, but she'll have you on the floor rolling. She's just absolutely hilarious.
Well, you know, we need a little humor in our lives, you know, Elizabeth.
Oh, and you know, it's really nice if you can deliver a message with a few funnies here and there. So she's really great. We really like Karen a lot. And she was on the on our radio show a few weeks back.
Uh-huh.
In addition, the kids from Little Country Church are going to come in and read the Declaration of Independence. And they had done this last year. It was really nice because the kids basically filled the whole sanctuary, and they verbatim quoted the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights. And it gave us chills. I mean, it was just an incredibly powerful performance. So we're really looking forward to that.
Yeah, you know, kids that can state the you know, your rights and the Declaration of Independence, and this is just incredible. We don't, you know, we say we teach it. I don't know if we really teach it anymore in the schools.
Well, maybe not in the public schools.
Yeah, you're right. We're going to have some people from the charter schools here this week and other people talk about what they do. And, and by the way, let me give you all a bunch of kudos for your show, We the People.
Thank
on Sunday.
You. And well, the really cool thing is this coming Sunday, I really encourage people to tune in. We have a very timely guest. We have Stephen Greenhut, who is the author of Plunder, and let's see if I can find a description of. He wrote Plunder, How Public Employee Unions Are Raiding Treasuries, Controlling Our Lives, and Bankrupting the Nation.
We had him on the
air. And this guy's a pretty hot topic.
The guy who wrote that book, Plunder, How Public Employees Are
Raiding. Oh, yeah, we had him on. What's his name?
Stephen Greenhut.
Right, Stephen Greenhut was on our show, and I tell you, what he says, and the thing is, it's one thing to say it, but then he backs it up with statistics. And I know statistics can be you know, scary, but in this case, it was pretty good. And he came down, and I believe he spoke at another.
He came to Reading and spoke at the Builders Exchange.
That's right, and you know what? When the thing is that you look what's going on across the United States. I'm just seeing right down here on one of the headlines that. Ohio Ready's Union bill vote. Indiana delay continues, and you know, just it's a fight, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens here.
Right. Well, anyway, so 6 o'clock tonight, Bonneview Baptist Church, and then 8 to 10 on Sunday mornings on our very favorite radio station, KCNR.
All right, thanks. All right.
And we want to thank you for all you're doing.
Well, you know what? We're just trying to give a voice to people. You know, everybody has, you know, we've had people complain about certain shows, and we just say, look, it's our community. Everybody in our community gets a voice on KCNR.
And we applaud you for that.
Oh, okay. Hey, thanks a lot.
Hey, have a great day.
You bet. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and our guest is back now. I hope we don't lose him. Bob, let's keep the mics open so we can continue to talk to the commander. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Time's 8:13 in the morning. It's Carl Lindebaugh. Linda's on assignment today, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Lumberjacks. Lumberjacks at 501 East Cypress. Six dinners to choose from for $9.99 at Lumberjacks, including baby back ribs, a New York steak. $9.99. You also get a choice of soup and salad. It's a local place. It's a local business, and local people own it. 501 East Cypress, Lumberjacks. Great place to eat, lots of food, great service, and I mean that, great service. They care about their customers. All right. We have as our guest for this segment, Lieutenant Commander D.R. Davis, author of SEAL Doc, talking about the first SEAL team in Vietnam. Welcome aboard, Commander. Hello, Commander. Commander, are you there?
Yes, it's Commander Davis.
Yeah, Commander Davis, can you hear me?
Okay, I don't know.
Commander Davis, can you hear me?
I don't know what's going on with this phone system. We will see if we can get him back. I don't know what...
He was on.
He was on, and then it disconnected when that other line lit up.
Okay, so let's check some settings. We'll go to something else. And
you keep him busy, I'll see what happens.
Okay. Just remember when your phone rings, you pick up. Okay, you got it. All right, okay, let's go on to the next step then. We just happen to have here. You know, the other day on Friday, and I'm sorry for this happening. I don't know why that the phone is working today, and not working today when it worked yesterday. On Friday, if you remember, we were talking. So a caller called in and talked about rights that the free, and it was said. And I went back and listened to the show, thinking to myself, am I being too upset about this, too emotional about it. And he talked about how the fact that I had a very generous VA health benefit that I never paid for. We're going to talk about this later. Now we have Commander Davis back. Commander, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, now we got you. We're not going to let you go.
Oh, okay. It's sort of disrupted. You're not coming through very loud, so if I have to ask questions, why?
Okay, well, we'll talk. I'll talk louder, and you get up closer to the phone.
Hello.
We're fine.
This is...
Can you hear me?
It's got to be on his end, sir.
Can you hear me, Doc?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
We're sending him everything we can.
Hey, Doc, can you hear me?
Commander, are you there?
I'm here now, yes.
Okay.
Okay, can you hear me?
I can hear you much better, thank you.
Okay, we just had to... Okay, we really turned everything up here. Okay, let's talk about you a little bit first, Doc. Sorry to have this, have this happen. Lieutenant Commander, you spent 25 years in the Navy. Let's talk a little bit about you. You were enlisted first. Is that correct?
That's correct. I entered the Navy as a seaman recruit in my senior year of high school in the Navy Reserve, and then I continued in the Navy Reserve, but I became inactive to go to college. And went into college at Purdue University in Indiana and maintained my reserve status. And 1 year into college, I realized I'd chosen the wrong major. And so I had an opportunity to go on active duty as a reserve, which I did, and went through recruit training again. And re-enlisted over into the regular Navy. And my career went on from there. It went to Navy Hospital Corps School and did some, what they did then was ward duty, which was basically experience in caring for patients, and went on to Operating Room Technician School in Great Lakes, Illinois, Naval Hospital there. Went through that school, and in the meantime, I made second class petty officer, which made me the senior operating room tech in Great Lakes, and then was selected to go to what the Navy calls independent duty school, which is a fairly extensive training in functioning as a medical department representative aboard ship and with fleet units, etc., where there are no physicians. So you actually become the doc for whatever command you happen to be attached to. And finishing that school, I put in for a first-class diving school, which is kind of unusual. Not a lot of corpsmen go to diving school. Very few of them make it through at that point in time, at least. And from that, I went to my first sea duty billet, which was an ASR, a submarine rescue vessel out of Pearl Harbor, and did a tour of on that ship.
Hey, Doc, what was the time frame on this? Was this in the...
Well, I enlisted in the Navy in 1954.
Okay.
And I went on active duty out of college in the summer of 1955 through Corps School and then the other schools I've mentioned. And I reported aboard the Ku Klux as an independent duty corpsman and first-class diver and medical diving technician in January of 1960.
Okay. Hey, Doc, we're going to have to, Commander, we're going to have to take a quick break here, and I'll hang on, and we're going to leave the we'll leave our lines open here so we can make sure we can talk to you and make sure we don't have any problems again. This is Colonel Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Join us right after these messages. Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. 8:23 in the morning, it's 42 degrees. It looks like it's going to be stormy today. Weather always brought to you by Anselmo's. Last day of February, and this portion of the show brought to you by Mike's Music on Cypress. Mike is a great guy. Mike's Music is a professional group that not only sell great instruments, they will give you lessons, very professional lessons, so you'll learn how to play what you bought there. Give him a call at 243-3774. Our guest today, Lieutenant Commander D.R. Davis, who wrote a book called SEAL Doc, First SEAL Team, about the first SEAL team that went into Vietnam. Good morning, Commander.
Good morning.
Okay.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, you know what? You know, somebody sent me your information, and I said, you know what? I haven't seen something like this before, and I think it might probably be pretty interesting. And let's go to the part where you were. When did you first get assigned to a SEAL team?
Well, I'll make it as brief as possible.
Sure.
After I left the ship, the USS Ku Klux on independent duty, I wanted to get back. I was very close to finishing my bachelor's degree. I'd done part-time while I was on active duty. You can do that. It's a lot easier today than it was then. Anyway, about a year, a little less, to finish my bachelor's degree. So I worked out what they call a no-cost transfer off of the ship to a billet at the submarine escape training tank at Pearl Harbor. And that permitted me then to go back to school in the evening and so forth and finish my degree. I was assigned to the first SEAL team, and I received orders in May of 1962 to be transferred to a unit designated as MTT-1062, which... Of course, no one knew exactly what that was or even where it was, except it was in Vietnam. The reason for this is because SEAL, the word SEAL, was classified as secret for, as a matter of fact, 3 or 4 years, that it was not used at all, even in transferring people to the unit. You didn't refer to it as a SEAL team. When I got my orders, I had no idea, and it was a transfer immediately situation. Temporary duty, TAD, they call it in the Navy. And I got out to Saigon, still not knowing where I was going, and arrived in Saigon and was told that my team was in Da Nang, and the CO of the team would come down and pick me up sometime later in the week, which is what happened. So that was my introduction to SEAL. Prior to that time, I didn't even had no idea what it was, and I didn't know what it was until actually I got on site with the team and found out that they were the first increment of the first SEAL team, SEAL Team 1 out of Coronado, California.
Okay. And their mission?
Their primary mission on paper was to train a group of volunteers from the Vietnamese Junk Force, which is a small contingent of the small Vietnamese Navy that primarily uses junks as opposed to conventional ships. And that group, we were to train in counterinsurgency and maritime warfare, etc. And so we set about structuring a training program that was similar to the UDT BUDS program, which is currently used by all SEALs. All SEALs have to go through that. I want to point out that during this period of time and throughout the Vietnam War, hospital corpsmen were not permitted to go through that basic SEAL training program because it was construed to be structuring people as combatants, and medical people are prohibited by the Geneva Convention from being combatants. So by virtue of going through the BUDS program, you became a combatant, and that was incompatible with the Geneva Convention. So,
well, that's changed. That is since
more or less drafted into SEAL to fulfill that.
Well, that's that has since changed, though, I believe, Commander. I think I see a lot of corpsmen carrying a lot of weapons when I was in Iraq.
Yeah, it's a whole different scenario today than it was then. You know, even during World War II and before, corpsmen did carry weapons, but the reason being was to protect themselves and their patients and not as an active combatant.
Right.
And that's been fairly common for as far back as the hospital corps goes. But nonetheless, the interpretation of it at that point in time and throughout the Vietnam War was that, you know, you were not a combatant, even though you were.
Okay, we've got a couple minutes left before we have to get to the news. So what would you say is, and then we'll hold you on, of course, over on the other side and then finish the segment. What would you say was the most eye-opening aspect of watching that first SEAL team in action in Vietnam?
Well, I think what I stress in my book, which a lot of things have been written about SEAL, and I've read a great many of them. What I wanted to stress in my book was more the personal side of SEALs. SEALs are seen as the macho, and they are the elite fighting force in the world. There's no question about it. But I wanted to get in more to point out the fact that not only are they macho warriors, they're highly intelligent, very ingenious in their abilities to put things together, as we did in Da Nang. We had no support whatsoever, and we had to liberate, if you will, all of our vehicles, gasoline to run them. The team was sent out with no weapons, etc., and all of that had to be gained from other sources that were not structured to support the SEAL team. So,
they had to borrow their weapons and everything.
That's right.
Improvise.
We were fortunate to have an Army Special Forces team in Da Nang, and they had special arrangements with the group in Okinawa that supplied them, and we were able to piggyback in on their requirements, so that that's where our weapons and explosives and everything
came from.
Even uniforms.
Commander.
Camouflage uniforms came from.
Yeah, hey, Commander, we're going to have to take a break here, and we have the news, and when we come back, we'll do our last segment, and we'll talk about the book a little bit more and how people can get it. So, Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. 8:34 in the morning, last day of February. 42 degrees, it's going to be rainy today later on after 10 o'clock. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming and chatting at KCNR1460.com. This portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop on Athens Avenue. DC and Tim, the man in black, give great haircuts. I was just down there. It's a fun time in there. I mean, they make a haircut actually more than enjoyable. They make it almost like meeting old friends when you walk in there. And it's not a hairstyling. It's not gel. It's a barbershop that gives discounts to veterans. And you can't say more than that, except man's last stronghold. That's right. Right on the window there. Man's last stronghold. Supporters of us, we support them, and we hope you all support them, too. Our guest today is Lieutenant Commander D.R. Davis, who wrote a book called SEAL Doc, about the first SEAL team in Vietnam. Welcome back, Commander.
Thank you.
So it must have been pretty exciting there.
Well, yes, it was. It was a very small piece of my 25-year Navy career, but a very memorable one, I might add. I did not stay with SEAL. I had a commission in the works, and so when I left SEAL, later, not too long after that, I received my commission and went on basically pursuing my career as a commissioned officer in the Medical Service Corps.
Right. Doc, the SEAL team, did you follow them at all after you left them?
I tried to maintain some contacts, but with their operating environment, it's very difficult. But since I've written the book, I've met a lot of SEALs.
Oh, yeah,
and
I imagine.
Online and so on and so forth. I was invited to their National SEAL organization, their Northwest chapter here in Washington, and have attended a couple of their events and really reunited with a lot of folks that shared my experiences, too.
Well, we had Marcus Luttrell. I'm sure I'm probably pretty sure you heard about him, about that SEAL team in Afghanistan where the Medal of Honor was awarded to their commander.
Yeah.
Marcus came here and spoke to us.
Quite an organization.
Yeah.
I'm very proud to have played a very, very small role in it. But
it sounds to me like...
I wrote the book primarily to, as I said earlier, to bring out the relationships that people on SEAL teams share and how they go about doing the things they do. It's really quite remarkable, and it's a fine example of how young men can come together and get a very tough job done and done well.
Did you go on missions with them?
Yes.
Okay. Can't. Okay, I got it. All right.
I do get into that to a certain extent in the book.
Okay.
I'm not trying to be facetious. You don't have the time to go into it, and you can't do justice in a minute or two. But nonetheless, it's in the book.
Okay. And how do we get the book? It sounds interesting. I want to pick up a copy of this.
Primarily, you can go to my website, which is lcdrdavis.com, and you can order the book off my website, or it's readily available through amazon.com.
Okay.
Just punch in the name and it'll come up. And my website also, I have reviews that have been done on the book up there, some very significant reviews, I think, and very favorable. One was done by a gentleman who's a field editor of the American Rifleman, which is the publication of the NRA, and that's up there, and others as well. So that I've really been fortunate. I've gotten some very, very good reviews of my book.
Yes,
so
you have.
I've only been out a couple months. So.
Yeah, well, I went to your website and checked it out, and you're right. You have some great reviews. It's a good website, and tell everybody again one more time what that is, Doc.
It's lcdrdavis.com.
Well, first of all, we want to really thank you for your service. We hold veterans in high regard here in the North State of California, in Redding and on KCNR, and we want to thank you for your service.
Well, you're very welcome. The Navy did an awful lot for me at giving my education, or most of it, it's a fabulous, fabulous way to pursue a career. And I encourage anyone who has any thought of being in the Navy to definitely look into it, because it's a great life.
Well, our producer here, Bad Bob, was in the Navy, so...
A couple of guys from my platoon ended up, from my boot camp platoon, ended up being selected to go try out for UDT SEALs. And I don't think they really knew what they were in for.
Well, it's difficult. And the regimen that corpsmen were subjected to in completing first class diving school is no cakewalk. There were several who started in my class in 1959, and at the end of 2 weeks, I was the only one left.
Well, it's not easy, that's for sure. Hey, Commander, thank you so much for being on the show. And again, one more time, tell us your address again.
Okay, the website is lcdrdavis.com.
There you go, and it's a good website, and like the good commander says, it's a story about that first team, that first SEAL team. Didn't even have the name SEAL out there. It was something else. And I imagine you were at Little Creek at some point.
No.
No? Okay. We have a lot of questions coming in over our chat room. That was one of them, asking if you were ever at Little Creek.
No, I was stationed in that area. I was at Portsmouth, Virginia, but... No, I've never been to Little Creek. I've been to Coronado. In fact, I met there with the CEO of the training center, SEAL Training Center, a few years back, and to discuss my book, and he's the one that suggested that I write it in the form of a novel.
Okay, great. Okay, well, thanks again, Commander, and thanks for being on the show, and good luck with the book.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Okay, and Coach Bob, I was at Little Creek. I was there for a period of time. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Our 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, and Carl and Linda Bott. And Linda's on assignment today after a great night last night at the Rat Pack. Okay, Bad Bob, come way right in here and say what you thought. Quickly.
Of the interview with the Commander or the show, or the Rat Pack show?
The Rat Pack show.
I was awestruck. You know, there was those moments when you could just close your eyes. Yeah, it was a production, it was acting, it was all that. But you could close your eyes and let reality slip for a second. And you know what? I made this comment on my Facebook page. There was a time when entertainers entertained. They didn't do political statements. They didn't see how many people they could possibly offend, and they didn't see how much skin they could get away with showing. They entertained, and I think we've changed from that.
I think you're right. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellite. Doug Tooley and the guys down there at his shop do Dish Satellite. They do a great job. You need to give him a call, 244-1988. Guarantees his work. He's a local guy. He's a veteran. Who could ask for more than that? Okay, that was a good interview in the last one. You know, Commander Davis had, you know, obviously, you know, he loves the Navy. Gave him, well, he said gave him his education. He gave him his, you know, way through life. And then being with that SEAL team, the first SEAL team in Vietnam, must have been kind of interesting. And it's going to, I think it'll be a decent read on that book. And let's go back to a couple of things. I blogged about something last week, and somebody, you know, thanked me for it. I blog, of course, you know, for the Record Searchlight under Redding.com, under Time Under the Helmet. Somebody sent me an email last week talking about sending your prayers to out for these 9 Marines that were killed in Afghanistan, part of 3-5. And I get emails like this all the time, and you know, you need to check them because, you know, here comes a, you know, something through there. So I called the Camp Pendleton, to their public affairs officer, and talked to their chief down there. I told him about this email I'd gotten, and it was 9 Marines, and he said, were they Navajos? And I said, no, it didn't say anything about being Navajo Indians. He said, well, there's one going around that was that, and it wasn't true. I said, okay. He said, yeah, and he said, 3-5, it's been in Afghanistan the province there for since October 2010, and they did not have 9 KIAs. They had 25 KIAs. 25 KIAs in 4 months, my friends. You know, I see things around that I wonder about. I wonder about why Charlie Sheen, who is obviously a fatuous ass, gets he's on the news, and everybody, even Fox News talks about him. But you don't see the articles about 25 Marines dying in 4 months. And it's not just Marines, and, you know, soldiers and sailors and such. And yet we get more and more of that. You know, so when I see that, you know, somebody's got to remember. Somebody's got to say something. Somebody has got to put that number someplace where, you know, on the Record Searchlight, we ought to have just a little box on the front page that says, 2 Marines killed today in Afghanistan. The next day, you know, it could be 0. It could be just a continuing number. But it could be 3 more or whatever. But that we acknowledge these young men and women that were killed. They don't keep numbers of those who were wounded or injured in other you know, other means. You know, a truck. We would have Marines killed when I was in Iraq by, you know, a Humvee would, you know, turn over and somebody would be killed that way. Horrendous way. You know, I mean, it's bad enough to lose them in combat, then we lose them in auto accidents or things like that. I mean, it's bad. So you know, maybe, and so this is something I think I'm going to take on. I think I'm going to try and research this so every day I can try and find out if we lost somebody that was killed in action, that the next day at least we can do is remember their name and say, you know, today in Afghanistan we lost two more Americans. Their names are Bryce Kelly. Their name is Joe Santos, 21 years old. 21 years old. And yet we don't seem to remember that. But we sure as hell remember that somebody by the name of Lady Gaga wears a bikini made out of meat. You know, there's something wrong here. But that's just my thought. Yeah, Bob.
Carl, listener Jay just called in. He was kind of on a call, but he mentions the fact that prior to the election of the current administration, the body count was being celebrated, promoted in the media, all that. And now that we have this current administration, you're not hearing a word about the casualties. It's buried on the back page.
Yeah,
I find that interesting.
It's not even buried on the back page. Tell me where you can find it someplace. You know, we've got comments here in the chat room here saying, you know, try and say where they're from too, bringing home the folks. You know, I don't know if you can do that because we fought this war for 10 years. It's going to be 10 years, my friends, 10 years of continuous war. Come November. I'm sorry, September. 10 years of continuous war, and we're getting out of Iraq, and I don't know what kind of clear, concise plans we have for Afghanistan, or if we're there just to kind of watch the nukes that Pakistan has, if they come apart, which is, you know, to me, at least that would be a reason. But here's the thing is, okay, if we're going to fight, recognize the warriors. Recognize those who put their lives on the line. And that's going to lead me into my next subject right after this break. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 460.
No, I won't back down.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's 8:54 in the morning on the last day of February, my friends. We're quickly approaching that springtime and bikini time and all that, and phone lines here are 605-4567. If you want to get in this last few minutes and give me your comments, and of course we're streaming and chatting on KCNR 1460. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, finest walk-in humidor in the state, if not west of the Mississippi. And of course, Espresso Joe's, the type of coffee that you just have any kind of coffee you want. The girls there will fix it up, a professional group. Just really, really nice people down there. They're professional. They've got a room then also, Tobacco and Brew, that you can go in there and drink your coffee afterwards. Free Wi-Fi. You can have meetings there. Joe and Shelley support our community. They support our community in so many different ways, not just the veterans, but in many ways that helps the community in business through over 35 years. Okay. This is something else that I was going to talk about. Remember Friday we had my torque factor went up a little bit, and the caller was in there, and I usually I don't get too excited about things on the on the radio or a lot of other things, I was talking about cuts to VA funding. I'm writing about this too in the blog, so you're going to get it early. And what the guy calling in said, well, he supported the veterans. Somewhere during the conversation, he commented on the fact that I had very generous VA health benefits. And, you know, then we started talking. And then the words were, and I went back and listened, that I had never paid for or that I got for free. I thought about that. And I thought, well, you know what, I wonder how many other people believe that, that it's we get it for free. And then I realized that some people do think that. A lot of people, you know, think that you just, you know, it's free, those benefits. And so I wrote a blog. It says essentially is that, you know, I paid for these benefits as all my fellow veterans did. And we did it by doing one thing. We kept up our end of the contract. Our end of the contract was, when we signed on the dotted line, is that we go where our elected representatives and the people of this country sent us. We went to places that were nice. We went to Hawaii. And we went to Somalia. And we went to California. And we went to Vietnam. And we went to Australia. And we landed at Iwo Jima. So I think you kind of get the drift here. And the bottom line is we didn't have the option of not doing it. We didn't have the option of quitting or calling in sick. We didn't have the option of not winning. We didn't have the option of complaining to our union rep. We had no option. If we lost, boss didn't reprimand us. We died in place. We left homes and families on little notice. We missed more birthdays and Christmases and anniversaries than we were there for. We bitched about it, but we went. I can truthfully tell you that we experienced events that still wake us up in the middle of the night. We came home to adoring families most of the time. Sometimes we came home to families, the kids that didn't even know us. They were young when we left, and we left for a year. When we came back, the only way they knew us was by a photo that Mom would show her every night. Who's that? That's my daddy. Our families, our friends, they really didn't know what we did. They a lot of times didn't even know where we were. In the worst instances, our returning veterans came home and were reviled for their service. We don't care about politics. We know the difference between those who say they support us and the ones that do. Our country doesn't owe us anything special. It doesn't owe us things. But what it does is our country promised us that for our service, our country would take care of those injuries or illnesses that resulted from military duty. That's what the VA is about. That's what the clinics are here for. That's what TRICARE is here for, to uphold the contract that we made with the country. And here's the best part. Anybody can get that health care. Anybody can get that support. Those free benefits. All you have to do is just sign on this dotted line and live long enough to collect them. And any time you question this, go on down to the VA clinic. Go down to a VA hospital. Go down and go out to IGO and talk and listen to the veterans out there. Again, they don't want anything special. But when you start to say, "Is these are benefits you didn't have to pay for," I trust you. Trust me, my friend. You don't want to have to pay the price that so many veterans have to get that free care. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking to Turtle Bay. We're talking about events they have out there. This week, we're going to be talking to a number of people about events and the places right here in town. Well, this is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
KCNR Shasta Redding.